Well, I've entitled this little devotional here, A New Thing. Not that I haven't ever done a devotional before, so it's not a new thing for me to do this. But I'm really talking about a new thing according to what God has done. It comes out of Jeremiah. I say, well, you don't think about a Christmas devotional out of Jeremiah, do you? Probably not. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, who ministered 600 years before the time of Christ, just prior to the Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah describes a terrible time of judgment that would come upon God's people, the Jews, but also held out hope for a future time of restoration. Jeremiah 2, chapter 2 through 45, is mostly prophecies of judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. But tucked in there is this little section in Jeremiah chapter 30 through 33, which is called the Book of Consolation. The Book of Consolation. And it's in this section that we find what I call the new chapter. The new chapter in the Old Testament, tucked right in this long section on judgment. In the Book of Consolation, tucked right in there is the new chapter of Jeremiah chapter 31. Let me explain about Jeremiah chapter 31 and how it relates to the Christmas story. Jeremiah 31:15 reads like this. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Now, if you've read the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2, well, we have to read on here, but can't read some of it for us tonight. But we find that this is referenced in the Christmas story. Involved here in Jeremiah 31:15, where it talks about the bitter weeping of Rachel because her children are no more. Really, we have poetical language here that portrays Israel's suffering. And Matthew 2:18 applies this verse in Jeremiah to Herod's killing of the young children in the Bethlehem area in an attempt to kill this new arrival of the King of the Jews, baby Jesus. Quotes Jeremiah 31:15 in fulfillment of that, prophetic fulfillment of what was happening there. So we know that Jeremiah 31 prophetically has events surrounding Jesus Christ in view. Well, with that in mind, we come down to Jeremiah chapter 31, same chapter, and verse 22, which says, for the Lord, that's Yahweh, God's sacred name in the Old Testament, for the Lord Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth. There it is. Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth. What is it? Continues, a woman shall encompass a man. The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Now, commentators have grappled with this obscure phrase, what it means. However, most of the ancient commentators believe that this was a reference to the virgin birth, in which the Messiah would be encompassed in Mary's womb. I think they were probably right. There's all kinds of views, because it is kind of obscure, but I think those ancient commentators were probably right. Remember, verse 15 has prophetic application to the time of Christ's birth, as we've already noted in the preceding context. The virgin birth would be a new thing in the earth. Never happened before. Imagine the shock for Mary, who is having all the signs of being pregnant, but knowing that she is a virgin. Imagine the shock for her fiancé, Joseph, finding that now Mary is pregnant, but knowing that he had not had relations with her. What to make of it? Well, looking back, we can see plainly that this was a brand new thing in the earth, and it was God's doing. This was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, where he said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which, as we know from the New Testament, is translated as God with us. That's who Jesus was. He is the Lord of glory, came to earth came to live in a man, the God-man, perfectly holy God-man, because he didn't have that tie to Adam, the propagator of sin. The seed of sin was not passed. It was not in him, the holy child. Well, Isaiah prophesied 700 years in advance. This was a new thing that had never happened before, and it was the Lord's doing. Jeremiah 31:22 again says, "The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man." And here it was. You know, lots of women had gotten pregnant before with a male child. So that was not new. What was new is that this happened to be a virgin. A virgin. That's new. A new thing in the world. As Matthew 1:18 says, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then as we move on in Jeremiah 31, same chapter, we find the Old Testament promise of a coming new covenant. New thing in the earth. Move on. A new covenant is coming that God would one day make with his people. This new covenant would result in a new relationship between God and his people in a much greater and more intimate way than anything previously experienced. If you're a believer here tonight, you're under the new covenant. Praise the Lord for that new covenant. Relates, God now lives inside of us. God came to live in the world inside of a human body, the incarnation. He has now come to live inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's new covenant stuff. This new covenant would involve an intimacy of relationship through the Holy Spirit. It would relate to changed hearts and minds and permanence of forgiveness of all sin. This is all part of that new covenant based on Jeremiah 31:31-34. But here's what I want us to see tonight. The new covenant relationship with God is based on the new thing, the virgin birth, that God has brought about. You see, the night before Christ was crucified, he instituted what is known as the Lord's Supper, where he anticipated the significance of what his death on the cross was to mean. And we read in Luke 22:20, it says, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" The new thing of the virgin birth resulted in Christ being the one who ratified the promised new covenant given in the Old Testament by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Now, when a person believes on Jesus Christ as their God, as their Savior, as the God Savior, God counts that faith as righteousness for them. It's imputed righteousness. We don't have rightness before God in and of ourselves. It's accomplished for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He paid for our penalty. But when we believe on him, God takes the righteousness of Christ and imputes it. He gives it to us. He now sees us as righteous under the blood of Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now, as believers, made to be a new creation, a new thing, a new covenant, a new creation. This is how one becomes a child of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But I want us to see tonight, it all goes back, it's all based on the new thing of a woman encompassing a man, as prophesied in Jeremiah 31:22. The new thing of the virgin birth results in the ratification of the new covenant with Christ's blood, which results in a new creation whenever anyone believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Christ is the celebration of the new thing. Christmas is the celebration of the new thing done by God, which makes it all possible. The response of the wise men from the east, and we read it in the Christmas story, is when they saw his star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then it says in verse 11, Matthew 2:11, when they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshiped. Well, as we remember, let us celebrate in true faith and worship because of God's provision of a new thing in the earth, his provision of a Savior through the virgin birth. Praise God for this, the greatest of all gifts. Well, we want to close our service tonight. Why don't we stand up and get in a large circle here.